This is impeachment coverage on the Jason Rand Show.
It's a special edition of the Jason Rand Show. As we go over today's impeachment hearing, we'll be playing for you live impeachment coverage when it's warranted. But let's set the stage for everything that we saw today, because Adam Schiff gave a 2.5-hour opening statement on what was supposed to be, I'm told by Democrats, an open and shut case. The president broke the law. The president engaged in quid pro quo. We have a mountain of evidence. They didn't actually provide any of it, though. You heard an argument being laid out by Adam Schiff, the lead House Democrat impeachment manager, and he didn't provide a lot of evidence. He provided a lot of opinions. But the problem is he provided opinions that he's shared already multiple times, including yesterday, multiple times. We got absolutely nothing new from Adam Schiff today. We got nothing new from Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat from New York, Val Dennings, the Democrat from Georgia. We got nothing from Jerry Nadler. We got nothing new whatsoever. There were lots of grandiose statements and references to the founding fathers because Adam Schiff, I guess, wants us to know that he knows his history. He doesn't understand his history, but he knows his history. He quoted Alexander Hamilton over and over and over again, selectively pulling quotes that would help their case, ignoring the quotes about the dangers of using impeachment for political purposes. They left that out of the 2.5-hour opening statement. You heard claim after claim after claim being presented as fact by Adam Schiff. Undisputed facts. Now, of course, they're not actually undisputed. The fact that we're having an actual defense speak out against the claims made by Adam Schiff tends to be an indication that, oh, okay, they are in fact disputed no matter what you say.
They can't contest the facts.
Okay, yeah.
The president was the key player in the scheme. Everyone was in the loop. He directed the actions of his team. He personally asked the foreign government to investigate his opponent. These facts are not in dispute.
They're not in dispute.
Ultimately, the question for you is whether the president's undisputed actions require the removal of the 45th president of the United States from office.
Wow. So weird. Why is he spending 2.5 hours talking about things that aren't in dispute? What's there to go after? What, frankly, are you doing asking for more documents and witnesses? All the facts of the criminality, they're not in dispute. Now, of course, he doesn't remind people that they have no fact witnesses to any of what they're actually talking about. We've got transcripts of the phone call. No, it's not a perfect phone call, as the president says, but it very clearly establishes a crime wasn't committed, that there was an actual quid pro quo. We did get a lot of out-of-context statements played today by Adam Schiff from Ambassador Sondland. They played those clips. They didn't, of course, use this clip in their opening statements.
Did the president ever tell you personally about any preconditions for anything?
No.
Okay, so the president never told you about any preconditions for the aid to be released?
No.
The president never told you about any preconditions for a White House meeting?
Personally, no.
You said you didn't have your records or your documents from the State Department, but if you did, there wouldn't be any document or record that ties President Trump personally to any of this, correct?
Boy, I don't want to speculate what would be.
No, your documents or records.
I don't recall anything like
that. Okay. No. Good heavens. Okay.
Good heavens. That doesn't sound like there are facts that are undisputed, especially when you're using Ambassador Sondland to make your case. The same ambassador who said he was misquoted or misremembered something that he said and had to change it. But they didn't actually include today the change that he provided in his testimony. They included the first statement, which he has acknowledged as a misstatement. The one fact witness, Ambassador Sondland, to one particular phone call with Trump was discussed this way.
There were so many different scenarios floating around as to what was going on with Ukraine. So rather than ask the president 9 different questions, is it this, is it this, is it that, I just said, what do you want from Ukraine? I may have even used a 4-letter word. And he said, I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I just want Zelensky to do the right thing, to do what he ran on, or words to that effect.
Now, I suppose you can say that he's making this up, or at that point, President Trump was aware of the investigation, and he wanted to say something on the record so it would be on the record. But this is the only fact witness concerning an actual phone call. Yes, I know we heard someone say, well, I overheard a phone call in a restaurant at a cafe. And okay, but you weren't actually on the call. No, I was not. We had a lot of people present their opinions, but that's about it. Lots of opinions. Nothing new. Not even actual crimes. They want to pretend that what they have is a criminal act or two coming from the president. But there isn't. Not even a little bit. And even though they could have gone after the witnesses that right now they're trying to go after, the Boltons of the world and others, even though they could have actually gone through the courts to get the documents that they now say are necessary to make their case, even though they didn't have them before but still impeached, they chose not to. And they're being pretty open about it at this point.
Moreover, given the seriousness of the conduct at issue and its persistence, this matter cannot and must not be decided by the courts, which, apart from the presence of the Chief Justice here today, are given no role in impeachments in either the House or the Senate. Hmm. Being drawn into litigation taking many months or years to complete would provide the president with an opportunity to continue his misconduct. He would remain secure in the knowledge that he may tie up the Congress in the courts indefinitely, as he has with Don McGahn, rendering the impeachment power effectively meaningless.
No, he did not. You effectively made impeachment meaningless because you decided to skip the courts and go directly to impeachment without any actual evidence of a crime. You have maybe the appearance of one. I mean, you certainly talked about quid pro quo for a very long time, and then you switched it over to bribery after focus group said quid pro quo isn't connecting. But you left that out of the articles of impeachment. How weird is that? Now, when the Obama administration did exactly the same thing that the Trump administration did, which was exert executive privilege and the principles behind it, I didn't hear a peep from Adam Schiff, did you? Did you hear anything from Jerry Nadler? Did you hear anything from the Democrats at all? I didn't hear that. I didn't hear anything. I heard the Republicans say, this is outrageous. This is wrong. We are owed, as part of this investigation into federal gun running, we're owed an actual piece of document here and several. So you know what? No, we're not going to impeach, even though you are standing in the way. We're going to go through the courts, despite the fact that it took a very long time. And they won in the courts. The Democrats could have done that. They chose not to with Trump because they did not want him to win re-election. They're trying to do everything they can to get in his way. And again, they're open about it.
Instead, we are here today to consider a much more grave matter. And that is an attempt to use the powers of the presidency to cheat in an election. For precisely this reason, the president's misconduct cannot be decided at the ballot box.
Can't be decided.
For we cannot be assured.
You cannot be assured that he will lose. Oh, but continue. Sorry.
That the vote will be fairly won.
Oh, okay.
In corruptly using his office to gain a political advantage, in abusing the powers of that office in such a way to jeopardize our national security and the integrity of our elections, in obstructing the investigation into his own wrongdoing, the president has shown that he believes that he's above the law and scornful of constraint.
Now, I know the folks over at CNN just loved the performance by Adam Schiff, even though we got nothing new, even though it took 2.5 hours, even though the vast majority of Americans won't even watch more than 3 minutes of it. But what he did today was transparent and rather eye-opening in the sense that finally they're just being upfront. We didn't want to go the route of the courts because we don't really respect what they have to say. We don't think that they would do things on a timeline that would work for us because our end goal is really making this about the 2020 re-election campaign. Speaking of which, Jenna Ellis is going to be on the show in a few. She's a constitutional law attorney. She's a senior legal advisor to the president's re-election campaign. She'll be giving her analysis, plus we'll continue. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. This hour, by the way, is brought to you by Northwest Safe.
You're listening to continuing impeachment coverage on AM 770 KTTH.
You're listening to the Jason Rand Show on this day one of the impeachment, specifically the case being made by the House Democratic managers. They started this morning with a 2.5 hour opening statement by Adam Schiff that was filled with so many lies, one could very easily lose count. But he performed, according to CNN, like no other. This is one of the best court performances Jeffrey Toobin, for example, has ever seen. Jeffrey Toobin being the CNN legal analyst. We'll play some of that embarrassing audio a little bit later on in the show. Right now, Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat House manager from New York, he's making the case, and they're focusing on Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch. This idea that they rushed her out of this job, they didn't like what she was doing because maybe she'd get too close to all their scheming. What they won't tell you, of course, is that getting rid of an ambassador for any reason other than specifically a criminal one is totally within the purview of the president. They serve at his leisure. They didn't like what she was doing. You can disagree with that, as the Democrats do. Okay. It's not illegal. Right now, we've got no actual crime. We have no crime. They've not made the case for a single law that was broken. They talk to you about obstruction of Congress. And technically, I suppose you can say the president obstructed Congress because they created a scenario that forced him to break it. That's on the Democrats. They literally invented a crime. But just because they invented a crime doesn't mean it's actually a crime. I know we live in a world in which words mean different things, that everything is fluid now. But let's be very clear. Just because they say it's a crime doesn't mean it's actually a crime. You have individuals in this White House who 100% have the right to exert executive privilege and challenge this in court, go through the court system. Over and over and over again today, Adam Schiff would say, you can't just decide whether a subpoena is invalid or not. We get to actually submit them, and you have to respond. That's not how it actually works. Adam Schiff is lying. He knows that he's lying. He's not talking to the senators. He's talking to the American people who believe that just because you get a subpoena coming from the House, the executive has to comply. That's not how it works. The executive branch is a co-equal branch of government. They get to say, whoa, 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 slow that roll over there. You are getting way into our rights to be independent of Congress. We'd like this tension between us to be decided by the courts. That's how it's always been. There's a reason it's always been like that. Co-equal. The House is no more important than the executive, and the executive is no more important than the House. That's how the system was set up. And that's why you have the courts there, specifically there in this case, to actually get through all of that tension and decide, what does the law say? Because clearly we can envision a House, whether it's run by Democrats or Republicans, using some kind of power of subpoena in a way that's so abusive that it renders the executive completely meaningless. The founders knew that that could happen. That's why they have the court system. But we're pretending that because the administration decided to invoke executive privilege and exert their rights, that he somehow broke a law. And Adam Schiff today, with almost tears in his eyes, in his faux anger, said, you know what? If this is not impeachable, then nothing actually is. Then nothing actually is. That was his argument.
Ultimately, the question for you is whether the president's undisputed actions require the removal of the 45th president of the United States from office, because he abused his office and the public trust by using his power for personal gain, by seeking illicit foreign assistance in his reelection and covering it up.
Okay, so that didn't actually happen. He had a phone call in which the election was never discussed, but we're supposed to believe that he was doing this exclusively to go after the candidate he thinks he's going to face in 2020. Let's go down that pathway for a second, to show you how nonsensical it actually is. Let's go down that for a second. Let's say that the president did this because he saw Joe Biden as someone who was corrupt, and he wanted to get that information out there. And yes, as a matter of circumstance, because he's choosing to run against him, if in fact there was some sort of corruption and it was put out there, then yes, technically, I suppose the president would actually benefit from that personally in his campaign. But so too would the country. It is in our best interest to not have a corrupt president. We would certainly all agree with that. Adam Schiff has been making that point for the last 2 days, really for the last several months. That was their point in saying we got to go after this corrupt President Trump. Well, should we not also go after a corrupt candidate who might beat Donald Trump and become president? Isn't that in our interest? Yes, it's also in President Trump's interest. But it's also in our interest as citizens of this country. Technically, it's even in the best interest of the Democratic Party. Presumably, they don't want to put up a candidate who has a corrupt background that would cause them to lose the election, that would cause someone who's running right now as a candidate, cause them to lose the nomination to go up against Trump and maybe beat him. It's even in their best interest.
Other than voting on whether to send our men and women to war, there is, I think, no greater responsibility before you than the one before you now.
Oh, he's such a hero.
The oath that you've taken to impartially weigh the facts and evidence requires serious and objective consideration.
And you know what? I'm so glad he reminds us about how objective everyone has to be. Because you know what? Adam Schiff, the king of objectivity. This is a guy who truly is objective. Jerry Nadler, despite saying he's going to impeach the president, that's why you put them in office. Totally. Being honest. Rashida Tlaib saying we're going to impeach the MFer. Totally being honest. Being impartial. She's bias-free. Like all the other Democrats. I'm so glad there's Adam Schiff to remind us of that.
Decisions that are about country, not party. About the Constitution, not politics.
No, not politics.
About
no.
What is right and what is wrong.
Just real quick, speaking of what is right and what is wrong, there was a political story that came out yesterday. It was in response to something that Adam Schiff said. He said that there was a text message exchange between Les Parnas and Rudy Giuliani. And in this text message, as Adam Schiff pointed out, said, this shows you that President Trump knew 100% about the pressure being put on President of Ukraine Zelensky. And this is the text message. This is from Les Parnas, one of the associates of Rudy Giuliani, who's in a lot of trouble, and Rudy Giuliani, trying to get us Mr. Z. That was the text message. He wanted you to know that Mr. Z was Zelensky. It turns out Mr. Z was not Zelensky. A different Z last name of someone in Ukraine. Mykolai Zolovetsky, the founder of Burisma. In fact, when you look at the full text message that was unredacted and put out there, they make it very clear in this text message exchange, it had nothing to do with Zelensky. It had everything to do with the founder of Burisma. But Adam Schiff wanted you to believe that it was just more proof that the president personally knew about Zelensky. I haven't heard anything from Adam Schiff correcting that.
After you consider the evidence and weigh your oath to render a fair and impartial verdict, I suggest to you today the only conclusion consistent with the facts and law, not just the law, but the Constitution, is clear, as described by a constitutional law expert's testimony before the House. If this conduct is not impeachable, then nothing is.
Here's actually what this is about. If this conduct is impeachable, then everything is. Rendering impeachment utterly useless, a total and complete political tool. And that's why he's not winning over any Republican senators, including the ones who are moderate, including the ones that don't even like the president. Do you think anything that Adam Schiff said today move the needle whatsoever? I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-465-8770. Send me a text message. Do you think literally anything that Adam Schiff said today move the needle from Republicans to Democrats to in between? 1-800-465-8770.
You're listening to continuing impeachment coverage on AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Jason Rantz Show as we are covering live the impeachment trial. This is day one of the House impeachment managers, the Democrats, making their case. Earlier this morning, for 2.5 hours, Adam Schiff gave his opening remarks. And what was astonishing in all of this is that this is a guy who lied many, many, many times, knowing that the media was not going to call him out. Most folks in the media were not going to call him out. This is a guy who understands that folks over at CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times, they loathe this president. So they've been doing whatever they can to ensure that he gets removed from office. And they will put up all this drama about how, oh man, we don't know. There might be some cracks in the Republican side. I don't know. I wonder why Mitch McConnell decided to change his resolution from 2 days to 3 days. I don't know, Susan Collins and some others, they were getting a little bit worried. This shows some cracks. No, it doesn't. I was on with Saul Spady this morning at 7:30 a.m., and he asked me specifically about the fact that going into this resolution, it was 2 days by Mitch McConnell, but then apparently the reporting goes at a luncheon. Some Republicans said that's not right, we should do three. And he asked me, does that really show that there's some kind of crack in the armor of Republicans? No, for all we know, and my guess is, and I said that this morning, that was probably all staged. Susan Collins, a moderate Republican, sure, but she still is on the side of Republicans on almost everything. Remember, she voted in favor of Brett Kavanaugh, despite a whole bunch of pressure coming from outside groups trying to go after her. So she understands that what she does has to be treated a little bit more delicately. And so in a state that can go either way, she believes, it's not a swing state, but it's a more moderate state of Maine, she just got something out of this that doesn't change any of the chances that Democrats are going to be able to make their case of impeachment to the Senate, the senators. But she got something out of it that she can go back to the voters who are more moderate, who maybe are on the fence. They like her. They don't necessarily like Trump. She can say, look, I thought the process wasn't necessarily fair. And I spoke up and I got something changed. I have influence in D.C. I have influence in the Senate. Put me back in office. For all we know, this could have been staged. We also know that it helps a narrative that would suggest that Mitch McConnell somehow is he can't be moved. He is a hardcore ideologue. No, he gave in. And he can come out and say, you know what, I do it because it's fair. So it's a win on that part, in that regard. Now, I can tell you about 10 minutes ago, there was a bit of an interruption during the impeachment trial. According to CNN, there was a quote-unquote unspecified interruption that they're calling a protester who was heard yelling. We don't know what the protester was yelling. We don't know what he or she was saying at all. We don't, frankly, even know where it was coming from. CNN says there's a seating gallery above the Senate floor, but we're not sure where the protester was yelling from. Chief Justice John Roberts gaveled as a way to restore order, and then the House manager, Hakeem Jeffries, continued to speak. Representative Jeffries is right now on the House floor. He is arguing his case. They were focusing a little bit on Ambassador Yovanovitch. Let's dip into the live coverage of the impeachment to see where they're at.
A perfect call. It is direct evidence that President Donald John Trump corruptly abused his power and solicited foreign interference in the 2020 election.
There is not direct evidence. Him simply suggesting it as fact does not mean it's fact. That's literally why we're here, because one side disagrees with the other. Continue.
I'll take a 30-minute break for dinner.
What do you think they're having, producer
Payton? I hope it's something good, like some steak and some potatoes or something.
The Senate stand in recess until that time.
So they're going to take 30 minutes for dinner at this point. We'll resume our live coverage on the Senate floor at about 4 o'clock when they reconvene. President Trump earlier today, he's at Davos. He talked a little bit about what's been going on. We haven't heard that much from him. I think as far as the timing is considered, he's in a place where he's kind of in his element, right? They're talking about economic policy at Davos, and this is what he's good at. He's dealing with the fact that he's trying to come up with different deals, particularly with the EU. He's threatening the EU with tariffs on cars, something along the lines of 25%, if they don't give in to a better deal with us economically and in trade. And he's at a position where this is what he loves to do. So a lot of his time has been focused exclusively on that. Now, I also think he's probably got some advisors in his ear telling him, okay, don't make this about you too much. Don't go crazy. Don't go overboard with the tweets, because then it's going to seem like you're playing on the defensive. Now, to be fair to the president, he always has that kind of attitude. It doesn't necessarily mean anything beyond that. We can tell you that the senator from Florida right now, Rick Scott, is actually speaking to reporters. Do we have that feed to go to it live? We're going to pull that off in a second. He's been there the entire morning. We'll see if he feels the Democrats have been making a move. It would be on C-SPAN. We'll see.
Okay for Joe Biden to go to Ukraine and threaten to withhold money to get a prosecutor that he has no right to get rid of out of office, but a president who has a right to pick the ambassadors they want to pick does not have the right to change out an ambassador. So this is all they're doing is going through process. Because they don't have anything to do to attach anything to Donald Trump, they just hate the guy.
How long do you think they're going to go for tonight?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like we've gone as long as last night. I think we went 13 hours last night. I mean, it's like the exact same thing. I mean, they get a new speaker, they talk about the same stuff. And remember, it's the standard that they have is treason, bribery, high crime, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. And the result of this is they want to kick this guy out of office, a duly elected president, and they want to overturn the votes of 127 million Americans. That's wrong.
You should be a witness swap by Hunter Biden.
And this is Senator Rick Scott, Florida Republican.
We're going to have a fair process. I mean, they tried to change the process, the House Democrats did yesterday, but we're going to go do what we did with Clinton. We're going to listen to both sides. We're going to ask her questions, and we'll make a decision if there's going to be any witnesses. Right now, I don't know what they would. They had the opportunity to ask to subpoena Bolton. They didn't do it. I mean, they rushed through this. Think what they did. They rushed this process because they said there was an imminent threat. And then what they did after that is they set on for 33 days, and then last night all they did was try to slow down the process again because they don't have a plan, or they don't have a case, whatever.
The president this morning was talking about how he has all these documents, he has everything that the Democrats want. Do you think that he should maybe just hand over something just to shut the Democrats up?
Well, I mean, it's clearly a decision the president has to make, but it's the Democrats, the House Democrats. They said they had this overwhelming case. I don't know why they need anything else, or they already have this overwhelming case, and I haven't seen it. Because all they do is they talk about other people that said certain things, that they still have things that President Trump did.
Thank you.
Again, that was Senator Rick Scott, the Republican from Florida, weighing in. As we made brief mention of, as we've been covering this live, Hakeem Jeffries, the House impeachment manager for the Democrats, the Democrat from New York, was making the case that there was some kind of crime or cover-up in getting rid of Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch. But as Senator Scott just said, you can get rid of your ambassador at any point. The same way that Joe Biden put pressure on getting rid of a prosecutor in the Ukraine for which he has no oversight whatsoever, but decided that they would withhold some actual aid to Ukraine unless that happened. He was bragging about it. They make no concern. They have no concerns whatsoever on that. But when it comes to any president doing what he or she is allowed to do, all of a sudden, oh, it shows a cover-up. And again, you heard there the call of Joe Biden's name and whether or not there's going to be witnesses. Now, Republicans clearly don't want witnesses because they've already made a very compelling case with one particular talking point. And it's this. You guys said you had an open and shut case. It was overwhelming. You have all the facts on your side. You called your witnesses that you wanted to call, none of them fact-based witnesses, but okay, you called your witnesses, and you said there was enough to impeach. So why all of a sudden are you saying that you need to get access to witnesses and documents? Why would you need that? You've already impeached. Why isn't what you've already compiled enough for the Senate Democrats to go ahead and also impeach? It is a conflicting argument that they're making. You can't on the one hand say that your case is closed, you've proven some sort of criminality, but also say we need to talk to more witnesses. Why? They've not yet actually answered that question. And shame on media members for not pushing them to answer that question. The question will be asked, but then you'll get a Democrat who talks around it. Oh, we don't really need it. We just, or the American people have the right to get this information. They say that over and over and over again. But no one actually follows up and says, okay, but still, beyond that, do you think you need them? If the answer is no, then you shouldn't be moving forward with it. Just go ahead and impeach. You told us that you had to rush through the system, didn't want to go through the courts because that would take too long. You have a potential monarchy taking shape here. But now you're saying, actually, okay, we can hold off a little bit. Not only will we hold off on actually sending in the articles of impeachment, we'll chill out a little bit here because we now can go through the courts. Now, we'll see if we can get this. I believe it. Yeah, it's Senator Tim Scott is speaking alongside. I can't tell who that is. Do we have this live? This is again
anything
is
new.
Reaction to the.
We were here all day yesterday for about 13 hours.
This is John
Barrasso, new material
Republican
presented. It still seems to me as this was an effort by the Democrats in a very partisan way to bring a case against President Trump because they weren't happy with the results of the 2016 election and are concerned that they're going to have real problems in the 2020 election when we look at the candidates running for president against President Trump. Nancy Pelosi said they've been at it for 2.5 years. And the reality is that these phone calls didn't happen until this past July. I'm here with Senator Scott. And we've been talking about the fact that this is not just about the impeachment of the president. This is a focus on an attempt by the Democrats to take the Senate, which is what Senator Schumer essentially admitted in an interview with the New York Times.
Yeah, there's no question that when you think about
Senator
this
Tim
entire
Scott,
process, if yesterday they were going to present today overwhelming evidence, what we've seen is just a rehashing of yesterday's charade. Therefore, the conclusion is a very simple one, that the goal of this entire process is not to remove the president from office. It's simply to remove certain Republican senators, Colorado, North Carolina, Iowa, Maine, and Arizona from office. And this is absolutely an opportunity for them to try to overtake the Senate.
Senator, if you're concerned about not hearing anything new, why not agree to
Senator
a subpoena for
CNN,
John Bolton or Mick Mulvaney?
Senator from Arizona. Recently called the liberal hack.
I think the House still reserves the right to compel testimony, and they did not do it then. And if there are entire conversations around the fact that it'll take too long, they could have saved us a couple of months had they already done so. So I welcome Speaker Pelosi to compel Bolton or anyone else to come into the House and testify, and they've suggested that they may decide to continue the process anyway.
And if you read the brief, that the House managers brought forward, 11 times it says the information is overwhelming. The facts are overwhelming. Nadler has said we could do this in 3 minutes. That it's a rock-solid case. Present the case and let us vote. It doesn't seem, if the vote is on the impeachment of the President of the United States and the evidence is overwhelming, present it and ask us to vote. We ought to be able to make that decision. Right now, we're going to hear from the managers. They're about 5.5, 6 hours into a 24-hour presentation. We'll then hear from the White House in their defense and then have 16 hours for questions. It does seem to me that at the end of that, most senators will be pretty well informed on whether they know which way they're going to vote and aren't going to need any additional information. Anything else seems to be that some senators, already knowing how they're planning to vote, are just looking for additional information, not to inform themselves, but for political purposes.
That's a great point made by Senator John Barrasso. Also heard there was Senator Rick Scott. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show with live impeachment coverage. They've taken a quick break for a dinner. They will be back at about 4 o'clock. They'll probably be running a little bit late. We'll be carrying that live. This is the only station that's going to deliver to you everything you need to know about impeachment from the arguments Republicans are making and the lies that Democrats are telling you. So please stick around.
Good.
all have certain standards.
Cannon skies and scores.
Bonta pulls the trigger and buries. Robinson catches and scores.
Ours are just having a great attitude, working hard, and having pride in the program.
Follow along all season as Kyle Smith and the Cougs look to make some noise in the Pac-12.
No look feed. Miller catch, truck step, hammer time. Jumps up a three and buries it.
It's your only home for Cougar basketball.
Catch Cougar basketball on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to continuing impeachment coverage on AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show, a special edition of the show as we take a deep dive into the impeachment against President Donald Trump. Right now, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas is speaking to reporters. Let's dip in and see what he has to say.
Yesterday, Representative Nadler threw up great indignation. And he said, out of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian companies, how can it be that President Trump was just concerned with this one company, Burisma? Well, the obvious answer that the House managers ignore is Burisma was the only Ukrainian company that had the son of the vice president that had real prima facie indications of American corruption. We're not talking about some abstract interest in any sort of corruption that might exist in Ukraine, but if you have a sitting vice president making public policy decisions to benefit his family to the tune of $1 million a year, that raises a serious question of corruption, and a president not only is justified in asking for that to be investigated, but has a responsibility to see that that's investigated. And that was a question not about Ukrainian corruption, but a question about American corruption and Ukraine being integral in helping investigate whether there was, in fact, American corruption. I think we're going to hear another 2.5 days of arguments from the House Democrats. But the longer they talk at this point, the weaker the case is getting.
Senator, you said that
Senator Ted Cruz
to try to subpoena Hunter Biden.
Reacting to day one of the impeachment
case. The decision on calling witnesses is a decision in the first instance for the parties and for the parties' counsels. And so the question on calling Hunter Biden is going to be a decision for President Trump's lawyers to make initially if they ask to call Hunter Biden. If they ask to call Hunter Biden, if they ask to call the whistleblower, if they ask to call other potentially relevant witnesses, then the Senate will have to make a decision whether to grant that request. I don't think the Senate should force the parties to call witnesses that they don't, their lawyers don't make the decision to call. But I do think the Senate has an obligation to conduct a fair trial. That means to respect due process. You know, it was striking. One of the talking points that the House managers are pushing is they keep saying fair trial, fair trial, fair trial. Yesterday, today, Adam Schiff said, if a defendant is denied the right to call witnesses to prove his innocence, that's not a fair trial. Well, the problem is that is exactly what House Democrats did, where they put on prosecution witnesses. They refused to allow Hunter Biden to be called. Now, the House Democrats have now made Hunter Biden central to the question of the president's interest, and yet they did exactly what they said. The Senate will do a better job. We will conduct a fair trial, as has been demonstrated this week. We're giving the House Democrats a full opportunity to present their case, but then due process mandates that the president is entitled to full opportunity to present his case, to present his defense, and I look forward to the Senate hearing that, the American people hearing that.
Senator,
that was Senator Ted Cruz speaking as the Senate right now is on a recess. The recess is supposed to last only until about 4 o'clock. They've been running a little bit late, but for Washington, they've actually been remarkably on time. When we say just a little bit late, Producer Payton, when they say 4 and they start at 4:07, they're doing things right.
It's impressive.
I'm very impressed by that. If you're just joining us, we're continuing our live coverage, and we will be doing it over the course of the next 2 hours for a very specific reason. Number one, this is obviously incredibly historical, right? This is a historical moment. But number two, you have to be in a position to actually be able to intelligently talk about what the Democrats are doing and why it's so wrong. You're not going to listen to any other station or any other show that's going to give you as deep a dive into the impeachment than KTTH and the Jason Rand Show. So when we come back, we're going to go to the floor of the Senate